This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Long ago, before this day's confusion did begin, throughout the stars did we go wandering. Distance was no barrier, and time it had no hope. Free to come and free to go. Free to come and free to go. Open up the book, the book of stars. Open up the book.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Karmic Evolutions Astrologically Speaking. I'm your host, Sherry Horn Hassan of Karmic Evolution Astrology, and I'm coming to you on August 25th, 2020 from Contact Talk Radio. Just a quick reminder that this show aims to bring you the truth about astrology and your soul's karmic evolution. First, I will bore you with my usual housekeeping stuff, which is to tell you that you can listen to Karmic Evolutions Astrologically Speaking podcast anytime by going to my website at karmicevolution.com and clicking on the upper right-hand portion of the banner labeled podcast. And from there, you can scroll down the page and hear the most recent show and or search the archived listings for past shows that you might have missed or to which you'd like to listen again. Now, I must extend my apologies to everyone. If you've had trouble listening to this show live, it's supposed to air at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern every Thursday, but I just discovered that there's been a technological glitch and that this my website has been directing people to the Spreaker podcast station rather than to my actual website page where the show is supposed to be playing live. So I may have mentioned this to those who of you who are long-term listeners, and I hate to admit it, but I call myself TC, which is short for technologically challenged. So there you have it. And although I do have someone or had someone helping me with this link when I moved my website platform a few months back, it seems that the proper link didn't get installed. So that's a miscommunication issue. Anyway, I was unable to get this done today. My VA has COVID, so if everyone could send out a little prayer or some healing energy to Angela, I would greatly appreciate it, not just for selfish reasons, but because she's a wonderful, wonderful person. But I'm hoping that everything will be in the proper place technologically by next week. So thank you for your patience. I know a couple of you have contacted me and it's been frustrating, and I hope it hasn't turned you off to listening to the show if you cannot listen live. But that should return to the realm of possibility shortly. So thank you so much. I won't go into, you know, I have a downloadable freebie, which is also on my website at karmicevolution.com on the homepage and the website, I'm sorry, the podcast page. And that is a document, which is short, a little PDF called How to Keep Your Sun Sign Happy. And that's based on a interview I did with renowned astrologer Stephen Forrest, who's an evolutionary astrologer with whom I studied. He's one of my mentors. And it was a sidebar to an article that I interviewed him for about depression, how to detect depression in the chart. In any case, this little sidebar came up because I asked him if he could tell me what you need, well, you know, to keep your sun sign happy. So it's basic fun advice, and it's a cute little doc. So feel free to download it on my website. And it will sign you up for my weekly newsletter. And you're not obligated to continue to receive it, so you can always, of course, unsubscribe. I hope you don't, but you know, that's the disclaimer, is that it? Anyway, full disclosure. And aside from that, you can always follow me on my Facebook page, which is actually called Karmic Evolution for Your Soul. And that's where you can keep track of, if you're not on the newsletter, the upcoming podcast topics. And finally, as many of you may already know, I am offering still my 1-hour discounted Karmic Evolution Natal Insight reading to listeners only for only $99. So if you're interested in astrology, you want to learn more about the true meaning of your individual birth chart, this is essentially a reading of the snapshot of the exact position of the planets at the precise moment and location of your birth. And this is your horoscope. This is your birth chart. And, well, I'm hoping you know, but it can reveal a great deal about you. So if you choose to get an astrology reading and use that reading as a tool for soul growth, then I think the Karmic Evolution Natal Insight reading can be tremendously helpful, especially if you want to gain greater consciousness about your soul's true mission and purpose in this lifetime. If you would like to move from chaos to clarity about what might be holding you back, whether it's in your relationships, your career, or your job, your finances, and or your health, which really are the four major things that most people are concerned about, a natal chart reading can help you better understand what are your old karmic wounds and how you might heal them by moving forward to co-create your own future happiness and success rather than rely on the soul conditioning of past patterned behavior. And that all happens, of course, through astrological insight, and it's easy when you take advantage of my 1-hour, $99 discounted Karmic Evolution Insight reading, I'm sorry, Natal Insight reading, for listeners only. And at almost half the regular price, conscious awareness has never been so easy or so affordable. You can find this offer at karmicevolution.com/karmic99. All right, so now let's get into this week's astro news you can use. The sun already entered detail-oriented, precise, accurate, but perfectionistic Virgo on August 22nd, which was Monday of this week, and the monthly lunar cycle still waning right now, and will do so until we hit the Virgo new moon on August 27th. So that means we're continuing right now to release our ego attachments so that we can join our own special light with that of others for the purpose of positively progressing the plight of humanity. Now, Virgo's archetypal energy signals the end of summer in the northern hemisphere, and that's typically a time for fall cleaning and organizing and wondering which to pay better attention to: our daily diet, our work, and our exercise routines, from now, at least from now, until September 22nd when the sun enters Libra. Just be careful now, while the sun's in Virgo, that the urge to achieve perfection doesn't become the enemy of the good, as Italian philosopher Voltaire has been credited with saying. I mean, when perfectionistic tendencies keep us filled with anxious worry, we'll never get anything accomplished, and all our good ideas may languish in the back of our mind to create a heavy sense of self-critical guilt or regret. You know, it's that to-do list that never leaves you. Anything not accomplished on that list today gets pushed until tomorrow, but continues to weigh heavily in our psyches because it's always lingering somewhere in there. So the Virgo sun says, don't let that happen to you. Instead, use Virgo's earthy simplicity to cut through the most important details instead of getting stuck on extraneous ones and thus succumbing to Virgo's mutable mayhem by attempting to, distract attention from yourself by attempting to serve others at all costs. So short, sharp, and to the point works best by paring down to focus on what's most relevant now. The Virgo archetype sometimes makes me think of the old TV show Dragnet, where the detective, and I can't remember if it was the detective's name or the actor's name, Jack Webb, I think it was the name of the character, right, when he was investigating a crime and interviewing someone, maybe it was the victim, maybe it was a witness, and maybe they were a little bit hysterical, he would interrupt their long, you know, line of details, you know. And then it was 5 o'clock, and then she said to me, and then the door opened, and suddenly the man with the knife was there, you know. He would interrupt them and say, "Just the facts, ma'am." And that's Virgo, right? Although those who carry a lot of Virgo archetypal energy can also give too many facts, and in doing so, water down their point. So it's important to stick to the point now, because Virgo likes to come to a conclusion through its ability to analyze factual details rather than succumbing to the chaotic confusion of its zodiacal polar opposite, Pisces. So yesterday, to change the topic slightly, on August, I'm going to get back to Virgo with the Virgo new moon in a few, but yesterday on August 24th, Uranus stationed retrograde at 8 degrees and 55 minutes of Taurus. I'm sorry, that's not right. That's 18 degrees and 55 minutes of Taurus, where he'll remain until he stations direct again at 14 degrees and 57 minutes of Taurus on January 22nd of 2023. Now, I discussed the general meaning of this retrograde motion by the sky god Uranus last week, and that its purpose is to move us inward to incorporate new perspectives that separate us from our old, perhaps outdated, no longer relevant ideals. Now, Uranus is the sky god who lay with his wife Gaia, or Mother Earth, but who so despised the look of their offspring, their babies, that in disgust, he shoved them back into her womb so that he didn't have to look at them. It wasn't until Gaia birthed Saturn that she figured out a way to trick Uranus and hide the baby so that he could come to full age and help her release her other babies, which were all the gods and goddesses of the Greek mythological pantheon. So Saturn did this, but in the process, he also cut off Uranus's testicles, thus ensuring that Uranus could no longer reproduce and continue to reject his offspring. So inherent in this archetypal myth is the concept that Uranus represents a kind of idealistic perfectionism, right? He didn't like the look of his children, and because they so grossed him out and he considered them so imperfect, he had to hide them away from the world. But it's also an energy that may well be rendered impotent because such perfection, such idealistic perfection, is impossible to achieve. So it's interesting kind of that we're coming up to the Virgo new moon, which again I'll get into in a minute, but also that Uranus stationed retrograde close to it a couple days before. And Uranus in general has come to represent, as the modern ruler of the fixed air sign Aquarius, the kind of objectivity that leads to these kinds of ideological beliefs that we envision as perfect, right? So, but in terms of its retrograde motion, this is the period during the retrograde when we become disenchanted with our previous ideological beliefs and become conscious of new ones. So in other words, we find the imperfection in our old beliefs and seek to do away with them through the introduction of newer ones or newer perspectives. And because Uranus represents rapid change, which is often of a shocking nature, whether that's a positive or a negative shock, this means we might suddenly no longer feel about something or someone the way we did previously. Now, due to the archetypal nature of Uranus, such as revelatory thinking that can arrive like a lightning bolt from out of the blue, and when that happens, it's a serious shock for us to absorb, but it can also indicate that we've resisted change or changing our thought processes for so long that when change finally arrives, it has to come with a bang. And from now until January 22nd, our ideologies may shift rapidly or they may shift a bit more slowly because this is a whole 5-month process after all. And it's possible our shift in perspective may be permanent after it stations direct, or we may revert again back to our old thought processes. So it pays to look at where Uranus is currently transiting in your chart for answers to in what area of life Uranus is likely to have you thinking differently during this period and perhaps beyond. And when Uranus stations direct again, we'll be tasked with proving that we can manifest any of our new ideals into the real world, because Uranian revelations, which again arrive often in a flash, they look perfect to us in our mind's eye. But making them concrete in the real physical world often proves daunting, if not outright impossible. And this is where the myth of Uranus despising the look of his children comes in. So modification may be necessary to convert an ideal, our ideals, or our new ideologies into the practically applicable real. Now, on a personal level, Uranian energy represents the process of individuation, or being who we came here to become, while on a collective and or a political level, it can promote more massive revolutionary forces. So we might note that on August 24th, which was yesterday, which was the day that Uranus stationed retrograde, it was Ukraine's Independence Day. And according to the Washington Post, and here I quote, Russian forces Wednesday launched a rocket attack on a train station in central Ukraine on the embattled country's Independence Day. And let's remember that Uranus is, you know, the battle between Saturn and Uranus was to free the children, right? So the freedom is a huge concept with Uranus and Aquarius as well. And that this killed at least 15 people and wounded about 50, which is something that President Zelensky said after warning for days that Moscow might attempt, quote, something particularly cruel this week. And the lethal attack took place in a town of about 3,500 people in a particular region, which I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to try. And Ukrainian news agencies quoted Zelensky as telling the UN Security Council via video, he told them that death toll. I don't have updated information. I believe the death toll is probably higher now and the wounded is probably higher now. But anyway, I'm making the point that on the day that Uranus stationed retrograde, which happened to be obviously Ukraine's Independence Day, that, you know, that somebody is doing something shocking, right? Also, yesterday on the 24th, the New York Times wrote this. California detailed a sweeping ban on the sale of new gasoline cars by 2035, a move that could speed a global transition to electric vehicles. Uranus is electricity. And the Times goes on to say, and I quote, the restrictions are important because not only is California the largest auto market in the United States, but more than a dozen other states typically follow California's lead when setting their own auto emission standards. End quote. And since Uranus and Aquarius are about friends and groups, changes in these realms may well occur now for any or all of us. So since Uranus naturally rules the 11th house for all of us in mundane astrology, we already know we're seeing some of this begin through the political events of the recent past, and that such events may well affect the outcome of both the ongoing primaries in the United States for the midterm elections and also the November 8th midterm election results. And obviously, we shall see. Now, Venus in Leo trined wounded healer Chiron in Aries yesterday, also August 24th, which made it easier for many of us to feel compassion for both our own and others' pain. So it's no surprise that here in the United States, President Biden announced yesterday student loan debt relief of $10,000 for those individuals earning less than $125,000 and for families earning less than $250,000. And in addition, if anyone is a student who had Pell Grants, the relief goes up to $20,000. Now, such debt forgiveness, and remember, Venus trine Chiron can translate into financial compassion. And I heard an estimate on the news yesterday that this would help at least 43 million people in the United States. So today, on August 25th, when communicative Mercury enters Libra, which will happen later tonight. It's about 9 p.m. Eastern, so about 6 p.m. Pacific. Conversations become either more balanced or more polarized, depending. And this is especially true since Venus in Leo makes a fixed square to Uranus in Taurus, and that also could relate to this the financial disclosure from Biden about student debt relief. I think perhaps there might be some disgruntlement. This is a square, right? Tension, inner tension from those who have previously already paid back their loans and are unhappy that they didn't get the same kind of loan relief that those people are going to get now. But also the Virgo Sun makes a mutable square to Mars and Gemini, and these occur, these squares, Venus square Uranus and the Virgo Sun squared Mars and Gemini, occur late on the 26th or early on the 27th, depending on your time zone, and that will lead us into the Virgo new moon. So watch for increased arguments between now and the 4-degree and 3-minute Virgo new moon, which occurs at 1:17 a.m. Pacific time and 4:17 a.m. Eastern time on August 27th. And the arguments will be over the validity of specific details related to Mercury-related topics like communication, education, travel and transportation, siblings, local businesses, and community issues such as voting. And note, when I say siblings, you know, Mercury actually, Mercury's Gemini actually also includes what they call near family, which is not only siblings, but cousins and aunts and uncles. Usually with an aunt or uncle, I see Jupiter involved too, but, you know, or if you have a natal Mercury and Sag or something like that. But I digress. So we've seen these kinds of arguments arising already, of course, particularly in the news related to communication that argues over the validity of factual details, as mentioned. So here's a Washington Post newspaper headline dated August 23rd, and I quote, "Twitter deceived federal regulators about egregious deficiencies in defenses against hackers, former security chief alleges." And the article goes on to explain, and I quote again, "In an explosive whistleblower complaint obtained by the Post, Peter Mudge Zatko alleges Twitter misled regulators about lax security and spam. His 84-page filing depicts Twitter as a chaotic and rudderless company unable to properly protect its 238 million daily users." Now, this, of course, helps to bolster billionaire Elon Musk's efforts to get out of the deal he made to buy Twitter a few months back. All right, I'm not going to say anything more about it, but I just think it's interesting, right? In addition, we have the Associated Press headline also from August 23rd, and it reads as follows. "Trump seeks special master to review Mar-a-Lago documents," which I think really reflects, really highlights the energies of this waxing square by the Virgo Sun and Moon to Mars and Gemini at the upcoming Virgo new moon, which doesn't perfect until the times I gave you on August 27. Now, this article states that Trump claimed in his court-filed request that, quote, "all documents have been previously classified, though he hasn't produced evidence to support that claim." Remember, Virgo, right? Just the facts, ma'am. "And described the record as having been illegally seized from my home." And this is still a quote from the article. "The Justice Department countered in a terse 3-sentence statement pointing out that the search had been authorized by a federal judge after the FBI presented probable cause that a crime had been committed." Now, note the pithy 3-sentence reply, right? I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but many of us have dealt with them in one capacity or another, and we know what lawyer speak is, right? 3-sentence is as short, sharp, and to the point, right? So the article goes on to say, and again I quote, "The filing requests the appointment of a special master not connected with the case who would be tasked with inspecting the records recovered from Mar-a-Lago and setting aside those that are covered by executive privilege. a principle that permits presidents to withhold certain communications from public disclosure. Now, lawyers for former President Donald Trump asked a federal judge Monday to halt the FBI's review of documents recovered from his Florida estate earlier this month until a neutral special master can be appointed to inspect the records. That's pretty Virgo-in, right? In some other high-profile cases, this article continues, including investigations involving Rudy Giuliani and Michael Cohen, two of Trump's personal attorneys, that role has been filled by a former judge. This matter has captured the attention of the American public. Merely adequate safeguards are not acceptable when the matter at hand involves not only the constitutional rights of President Trump, but also the presumption of executive privilege, the attorneys wrote. The lawsuit argues that the records created during Trump's White House tenure are, quote, presumptively privileged, but the Supreme Court has never determined whether a former president can assert executive privilege over documents, writing in January that the issue is unprecedented and raises, quote, according to the Supreme Court, serious and substantial concerns. So the high court turned down Trump's plea to block records held by the National Archives from being turned over to the January 6th committee, saying then that his request would have been denied even if he had been the incumbent president, so there was no need to tackle the thorny issue from a former president's claims. And this is from the publication Salon on August 31st. I guess my mind is moving ahead, right? This is from Salon on August 23rd, and I quote again. This is the headline. Lawyers are giggling. Legal experts scratched their heads at Trump's very strange new DOJ lawsuit. And it goes on to say, Andrew Weissman, the former federal prosecutor, said Trump's filing has a fatal flaw because it doesn't reckon with the fact that the documents legally belong to the National Archives, not the president. And you may have heard them say on the news, these documents belong to the American people. And so he went on to say, nothing needs to be sifted because none of the documents are actually the former president's. These all belong, whether classified or not classified, to the National Archives, he told MSNBC. He went on to describe the court filing as, quote, press release masquerading tenuously as a legal brief. And according to Bloomberg News, and here I quote again, former President Donald Trump was ordered to further explain the legal basis for his new lawsuit seeking appointment of a neutral third party to review documents seized by the FBI during a search at his Mar-a-Lago home. And it continues that U.S. District Judge Aileen M. Cannon in West Palm Beach, Florida, on Tuesday ordered Trump's lawyers to file a brief by August 26th, elaborating on how her court has jurisdiction over the matter. The Trump appointee also wants the lawyers to explain the, quote, precise relief they are seeking. Now, one political pundit recently noted that the judge is basically asking Trump, what exactly is it that you're asking me to do? And the well-known Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe explained, and this is a quote, he's sort of asking Merrick Garland to prosecute him. The point, well, as we lead into this Virgo new moon square Mars, arguments, in this case legal ones, over the lack of clarity about precise, accurate, concise detail. So remember, Trump's a Sun-Uranus conjunction in Gemini, and Mars is going to be passing over that conjunction along with his North Node, which means that Mars will also be squaring, transiting Neptune during its journey through Gemini. I believe it squares it three times, and we're going to get into that when we get closer to those dates. But so more on that anon. But since Neptune's been squaring Trump's Sun, Uranus, and North Node in Gemini, and his Sagittarius Moon and South Node, and he has a natal Mercury-Neptune square, we can positively feel his mental confusion on one hand, or his attempt to consciously obscure facts on the other. You can take your pick, but I mean, you know, my unsolicited personal opinion is that Trump has always been great, and I've said this before, at branding, right? Mercury, Neptune is someone who can paint a picture with words or use pictures or whatever. Clearly, he branded himself as a billionaire in his early years. He branded himself as a television star. He branded himself as a successful businessman. And behind that image is the truth. All right, so I'm not going to go into all that, but just say he's had a number of bankruptcies, particularly in his casinos in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and so on and so forth. We also know that he deceives people with whom he has, with whom he does commerce, right? Mercury is related to commerce, which is business and a transaction of goods and services for money. So, or barter, doesn't matter. But the point is that square to Neptune, there's always some kind of confusion. There was a story locally years ago when he was either first running for president or still almost, you know, newly in the administration, where he, I'm in Central Jersey now. I'm from New York, so I know, you know, all the stories about Trump from there, but for the past 27 years I've been here. So I'm you know, not far from Atlantic City, like an hour and a quarter, but anyway. There's my Virgo tendency to tell you too much information, too many facts, right? So anyway, there was a local music store here near me, I think in Freehold, and which is where Bruce Springsteen is from. So anyway, he had sold Trump pianos for his casinos. I don't know if it was one piano or a couple of pianos. And he said that to date, and this was during, like I said, either when Trump was running for president or when he was newly elected, and those casinos are from the late 80s and early 90s. He was already bankrupt by like 1991 or something. That the merchant never got fully paid. He got 60 or 70 cents on the dollar, and Trump never made good on the rest of what he owed him. And that's just one story of many, many. So those of us who know of him, you know, because he was more of a hometown person back when, we know that he's, you know, he does sleight of hand, right? Both verbally and literally. So it pays now that I went into that digression, talking about the, the stuff with Neptune and coming up to, you know, Mars coming up to his square to Neptune and then repeating it during his retrograde and then once again when he goes forward, and I'll have those dates for you at a later date, but it will pay to note if and how our own values have changed or are changing now, and that harks back to the Uranus retrograde, right? But that's especially true since Venus in Leo opposes Saturn in Aquarius, and that's waxing right now, and it'll be waxing at the Virgo new moon on the 27th, but it will perfect the next day on August 28th. And this is an aspect that may well cause us to question the importance of self-care versus fulfilling often taxing or burdensome commitments, duties, or obligations to others. And that in turn may lead us to make a sudden or surprising break from friends or groups to whom we were previously committed, or some of them may make a break from us. And again, because Mars is going to be at 4 degrees and 0 minutes of Gemini at this lunation, and it'll be squared within minutes of arc by the 4-degree, 3-minute Virgo moon and sun. And in addition, with Mercury in the square to Mars by both luminaries, right? Mars is in Gemini, right, at the square. It makes for even angrier conversations, and that will be especially true if we've tried to sweep important issues under the rug in the past. Now, to further compound the nature of arguments causing splits at this lunation, when Venus in Leo opposes that Saturn in Aquarius August 28th, they also form a fixed cross as Saturn tightens its square to the Taurus North Node and Uranus. And we know that Saturn and Uranus are going to come close to an exact square by the end of September. And Venus squares the Scorpio North Node and Hygieia, who is the goddess asteroid of health. Now, I've mentioned her before. I mentioned her last week. I see her prevalent in charts where there are health issues. I do not do medical astrology, but I have taken note of it. For example, I have a Sun Hygieia conjunction. I had a father who suffered from a massive heart attack and survived at the age of 51, then developed Crohn's disease and was ill, until he passed at 69 from what they then diagnosed several months before as colon cancer. So health issues from the father's side, right? And it's so I look at it, and when reading the nodal story or the evolutionary story, some of that can be inherent when we see Hygieia prominent, right? And so when this Venus Saturn opposition occurs, and they also square Uranus and Hygieia, which are conjunct the nodes, right? It's by then that we may break from others with whom we disagree due to a reevaluation based on the newly realized importance that our own health and self-care may trump our need to be of service to others. And we go back to the Virgo archetype of trying to be perfect, right? Trying to help everyone else and being of service at our own expense. So I've been tracking the conjunction of the exact Scorpio South Node Hygieia, which will occur circa August 31st. And leading up to this conjunction so far, we've heard the news that Dr. Anthony Fauci plans to retire. So according to the New York Times, and I don't think I have to explain who he is, but according to the New York Times yesterday, I'm not sure it was yesterday or today, the headline says, Fauci says he will step down in December to pursue his next chapter. And it goes on to say Dr. Anthony S. Fauci, who has advised seven presidents and spent more than half a century at the National Institutes of Health, will leave government service by the end of the year. We also had, and he is 81 years old, so he in 3 years will be approaching his Uranus return, which happens at 84. We also had the announcement by President Biden yesterday, as Uranus station retrograde, and we remember that Uranus also represents things like mathematics, science, and technology. We had mentioned electricity, which is part of the archetype of those sudden changes, right? A flash of lightning. That a new coronavirus vaccine should be ready for anyone over the age of 12 sometime after Labor Day, which this year occurs on September 5th. And that's made even more interesting when we realize that Hygieia will perfect her opposition to Uranus on September 6th. And I will note also, though, that Hygieia squares Saturn about then as well. So the new vaccine rollout may not prove as smooth as originally anticipated. So we shall see. Now, back to Mars for a second. With Mars now in Mercury ruled Gemini for its long 7-month haul, which I mentioned last week, and that's due to its retrograde from October 30th through January 12th of 2023, and Mercury in Libra, off and on, where he's going to enter tonight, off and on because the messenger god retrogrades between September 9th and October 2nd, during which a part of he will go back into Virgo, but the bulk of his retrograde period will be in Libra. This Mars-Mercury connection remains strong for some time now. And this heightens the potential for aggravation, impatience, and impulsiveness, never mind outright aggressiveness, arguments, and violence. We may be the perpetrator or the victim of another's anger, or we may work through any tensions now that led to former disagreements, as long as we follow the advice to try to keep our cool throughout these periods. And that makes this Virgo new moon the perfect time to plant seeds of self-care, because tending to our own physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health first becomes akin to putting on our own oxygen masks before we pass out, and then we're no help to anyone, least of all to those who are cherished the most and are trying to protect the most. And such self-neglect assists no one, and in the end only hurts us the most. Now, it's interesting to note also at this lunation that Juno, the goddess asteroid of partnership, will also trine the Scorpio South Node and Hygieia. So we may find it easier than we think to call on partners to help us help ourselves now. And likewise, Juno's sextile to the Taurus North Node and Uranus provide greater opportunities for revelatory insights, particularly if that insight comes from our partners now. So my thought process is this. Hang on. Sorry, got to gulp some water. Anyway, leading up to the Virgo new moon and at the Virgo new moon, there is the potential for arguments, right? But because Mercury's moving into Libra, the arguments, like I said before, may well be because A, you've swept things under the rug for too long and not wanted to have the confrontation, or you were indecisive, so somebody else made decisions and now you find yourself passive-aggressive about those decisions. Well, you know, I was going to decide, but I know you went ahead and made the decision because I couldn't decide, but now I'm pissed at you for it, for the actual decision you made, right? And that's a little bit of playing the victim. So if and when those kinds of arguments occur based on that kind of past, then it's now, because Mars in Gemini also says, try not to, what's the expression? Jump ahead, right? Try not to get ahead of yourself and make assumptions, but rather listen to what your partner has to say. And through that listening, with this Juno trine to the South Node and sextile to the North Node, you might gain better insights. Or because Uranus is involved and Hygieia is involved, you know, there might be stuff about mental health. There might be stuff that is just completely new to you, that is a perspective that you never entertained before, that your partner, your friend, your family member, your significant other, whoever, whatever, your boss, they are going to enlighten you with this now. So becoming angry about that, or upset about that, yeah, it's okay, right? As long as we don't do anything like, you know, punch them in the face or pull out a gun or whatever, it's okay. But we may actually be able to gain from whatever arguments or disagreements occur now, as long as we don't jump the gun. Now, the other thing, and here's my Virgo new moon mantra, which again arrives at 1:17 a.m. Pacific time and 4:17 a.m. Eastern time on August 27th, and asks us to plant seeds that allow us all to recognize that we're perfect just as we are. And so the mantra is, I am perfect in all my imperfections. An immutable earth sign, Virgo needs to be of service in order to feel useful. Being of service to others is all well and good, but this Virgo new moon calls us to recognize that if we don't serve ourselves first, as I said before, then we're of no use to others if our capacity is in some way diminished. While the Virgo archetype, again, represents health, it's a physical sign, it's an earth sign, service, and our daily routine, whether that routine includes paid or unpaid work, I always use the example of a stay-at-home mom, right? It also encapsulates the concept of creating its own environment. And creating our own environment means we take charge of our daily routines and our health by, again, focusing on ourselves first and others second. Believe it or not, this can represent a Herculean task for many of us. But like chips in an old Chinese teacup, they say, right, we can choose to revere our battle scars because they illustrate our maturity, our wisdom, and our capability to survive, right? When someone chips an old teacup in China, they glue it back together, but they look at the imperfection of the cup as the wisdom gained, you know, through the ages or whatever. And to survive, we need to recognize that we'll all experience some dings and deficits, especially to our physical bodies, as we mature and age. So do these make us imperfect, or do they make us feel less than, or whatever? The point is that, you know, we can accept our wisdom without feeling less than, which then will cause us to ignore ourselves and only concentrate on helping others. Now, I also I put down a little subtitle, Mind Your P's and Q's, you know, and I said the challenges at this Virgo new moon center on its mutable square to Mars and Gemini, which I've already mentioned, which tells us, which I've also already mentioned, to expect a lot of arguing over the validity of details. You know, as the Virgo sun and moon unite at this lunation, together they birth the need for greater precision and accuracy in our lives. And on a personal level, we need these to gauge issues related to our health. So if we interpret the Virgo archetype as service-oriented, the question becomes service to whom? Others first, and then if there's time and energy left over, ourselves last? As not to beat a dead horse, but as most of us already know, tending to ourselves often falls by the wayside because we prioritize taking care of, being of service to others, rather than, again, putting our own oxygen masks on first, as the cliche goes. So the Virgo archetype asks us to plant seeds now around counting how many steps we take on a daily basis to ensure we get enough exercise, track our caloric intake to keep on our diet or to keep our diet on an even keel, and balance our need for sleep with our desire to push on to help others at all costs, day or night. And the moon square to Mars reveals our impatience when things move too slowly, while the sun square, remember the moon is square to Mars, is fleeting, and the sun's already completed by the time of this, on the 26th and 7th, the sun has completed its square to Mars, making it, you know, waning at the actual lunation. But that often, the sun square Mars often brings our ego desires, which is, you know, I want it and I want it now, to the forefront. So since Mars is transiting through Mercury rule Gemini, there can be the tendency to process information quickly, but without the kind of in-depth under the microscope analysis Virgo requires to form a conclusion. And this goes back somewhat to the news pieces I just read you about Trump's filings in court, right? Because it's like, it's vague, it's obscure, it's not, you know, it's not based on fact. He's talking a lot also in these documents about it being a political vendetta, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Nothing of which has to do with how were his actual legal rights, meaning ones that are in the law books, how were they violated? And he makes untrue claims about, you know, executive privilege and all that kind of stuff. And there is some hazy line there, as we know, but in any case, he capitalizes on that. And again, that goes back to his natal chart. So we have now, at this lunation, a recipe for a lot of superficial information. And here I'm talking about the kind, not only the kind of mis- and disinformation and propaganda that's rampant through our modern-day social media and other sources, but also simple assumptions, which I mentioned before. I had, you know, for example, I was thinking of my friend Dorothy. I had a friend, a Gemini Sun, best friend, from late grammar school through high school, who used to say stuff to me like, oh, let's go see that movie that just came out. I heard it was great. So I'd be like, yeah, okay, let's go. We'd go to the movie, and then I'd say to her, that movie was awful. Who told you it was great? And she'd say stuff like, oh, I heard people talking about it online at the grocery store last week. And I'd think to myself, well, that's not exactly a reliable, trusted source, is it? It's not like, you know your brother recommended the movie, but you also know that he loves violence and there was violence in the movie. But if you knew that that was the case and you didn't like violence in your movies, then you wouldn't go. You wouldn't take his recommendation, right? So it's this kind of unboundaried acceptance of somebody else's opinion, but you don't even know that person. And that, of course, can be applied to all social media. So my point is that when we overhear information from others to whom we have no real personal connection, but then decide to take their information as gospel, we're doing the superficial Gemini thing. And likewise, when we hear something repeated over and over again, we tend to believe it's true. I mean, studies have shown this. Although we do so based simply on its repetition, but not on actually any factual proof. However, when the Virgo, Sun, and Moon question Gemini, just the facts, ma'am, especially as Mars is transiting through this mercurial sign. Ego-oriented Mars can become anything from annoyed, grouchy, and irritated to angry, irate, or potentially violent. Now, what's interesting, too, is that Gemini represents early childhood learning, meaning from preschool level all the way through high school graduation. It's Jupiter Sagittarius that represents the higher learning prevalent in colleges and through master's and doctorate degrees and jurisprudence degrees, etc., medical degrees to become a doctor, etc. So as Mars the warrior, who motivates us to have the ambition to become assertive enough to make choices, to take actions, transits through Gemini for the next 7 months, we'll probably observe more of what we've already experienced, a war on how and what our children learn, which is basically a war on education. And when Mars retrogrades in Gemini, which I discussed briefly last week, starting on October 30th, and I'll get into more, you know, before it happens, it will be at 2537 of the sign of duality, aka the trickster, until he stations direct again at 8 degrees, 8 minutes of Gemini on January 11th of 2023. This means that when Mars hits 8 degrees, 8 minutes, which he will do circa September 6th, there's another September date, 5th, 6th, meaning the first time before its retrograde period begins at the end of October, it begins what's known as the retrograde's shadow period. So we may begin to see some of the themes that will become most prevalent during Mars retrograde period emerging starting in early September. Although I'm not a huge fan of the shadow period, especially for these long, you know, when Mars is doing this longer transit, because I think these themes have already started. Anyway, Gemini is also our near neighborhood, which I mentioned. So your local space, the streets through which you travel to get to school, work, grocery stores, gas stations, auto repair shops, and other local businesses. And the other thing we do locally is vote. There is the strong likelihood, especially with enough current 2020 election deniers winning primary elections in their states to be worried about, that the midterm elections here may prove dangerous on a physical level. And that brings up the threat to local poll workers, many of whom have traditionally been retired seniors who enjoy doing their civic duty year after year. And since the GOP's assault on poll workers post-2020's presidential election resulted in threats, death threats, you know, alignment, whatever, you know, all this horrible stuff, people chanting outside of other people's houses. Clearly, there were two women who were poll workers. I've forgotten now where it was, if it was Georgia, but who, you know, were just threatened, and one had to leave her house for 2 months or 3 months. You know, that the it was because President Trump and Rudy Giuliani showed a videotape of them passing what they thought was a thumb drive that had some kind of information on it that changed the election results when it was actually like a mint, you know. So anyway, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about with Mars in Gemini. And we can expect that through the election and into next year for sure. So we'll talk more about that period, you know, of course, on another show, because that will be just wonderful fodder for more conversation about how these midterms may turn out. And of course, let's recollect that November 8th is also the date of an eclipse. Now, I think, you know, so what I, let me finish my thought with the poll workers. Confidence to participate in community service has now become fraught with fear for a lot of these people, especially, you know, an older person, right? Likewise, arguments about who won and who lost are likely doomed to continue at least into 2023 as Mars remains in Gemini until March 25th of 2023. Now, the only other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I also, I don't know if I mentioned this, but the war on education, the book banning, you know, crazy, right? Some library, I honestly, I can't even keep track, you know, it's in Arizona, it's in Texas, I don't know, it's in North Carolina, South Carolina. They listed books that needed to be banned from the library, and the library came back and said, not one of those books is in our library. So that, of course, can lead any thinking person to wonder, well, why aren't those books in there in the first place? And then, of course, the obvious, which is really the primary thought most people have, is why are you banning those books? So, you know, there's a huge amount of irony here. But the point is that if you're banning information that was put into books, then you're banning intellectualism. And if you're banning intellectualism with Mars in Gemini, you're declaring war on education, particularly the elementary building blocks of education, which are learning how to begin to think critically, right? So I've said this before numerous times. You can't derive at the fact that 1 + 1 = 2 unless you learn that basic piece of information, and that becomes a building block upon which you can then learn that 2 + 1 = 3 or 2 + 2 = 4. Same with our ABCs, right? You cannot read until you learn your ABCs. And once you do that and you begin to recognize words and spell and write and well, even before you write, right, you become cognitive of what those words mean, and then you string those words together in a sentence, and now you have a concept. So without the ABCs, you can never get to the concept. And if you never get to the concept, the Gemini side, you'll never get to the Sagittarian side, which is the overall meaning of that concept and how it can provide you with a greater consciousness about any particular subject matter that you would like to choose. So we are in for this war for the long term, for the short term, long term, right? And I think, you know, this is going to become important. So I'm discussing it all now in preparation for the specifics that will come up later on, obviously closer to the election and in its aftermath and probably lasting into next year. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope you found the information presented here helpful as you continue your karmic evolution in this lifetime. Please be sure to join me next week, September 1st, for another episode of Karmic Evolutions, Astrologically Speaking. Until then, may your journey be filled with karmic healing and the joy of greater consciousness. Namaste.
Long ago, before this day's confusion did begin, throughout the stars did we go wandering. Distance was no barrier.